The question that we're dealing with is what is the basic foundation of the yeshiva's approach? The very basic, what a person to start out, what is the basic thing that he needs to gain the most out of the approach of the yeshiva? We say that the answer is that the that it's not the how many ideas you have, but it's how real the ideas are. Okay, so the question is how to get from where you're starting and what is the nature of the person that's starting to the person that the ideas are real to. What are the steps to get there, and what's the difference in the nature of the beginner and the change in nature in the person where the ideas are real to him? The first step is just to study the idea. But however, what motivates you, since you're starting out, so it's not real to you, what motivates you? See, let me just start again. The thing is that you have a certain philosophy of life, and then the question is who you are, what motivates you. When we want to get to reality, that's a change in what motivates you. There's a change in your motivator, in who you are. That's who you are, what motivates you. So if you have ideas, but what motivates you is your conscience or competition, or a certain type of a religious emotion, one of these motivators, you see, that you must start out with one of these motivators. That is a lola shmo. You must start out with it. But however, the activity which you do is the activity is to get clarity of the idea. And the only way to get clarity of the idea are the questions. Sometimes you might not think of all the questions. That's the good point of a class, of a shir, because then everybody together, all the questions are openly discussed. And if you didn't think of a question, somebody else thought of a question until the idea becomes clear to you. That's the first step. But you are not living by the idea. You're still living by your conscience, and that idea is in the framework of your conscience. Whatever your conscience is, like I said, there's competition or whatever it is. Okay? Now, that is the first step. Now, after the clarity, there's observing the idea. In other words, let me try to explain it this way. Most people have a sense of reality, but their sense of reality is only insofar as the physical world. Like nobody, even if they have a desire to jump off a roof, very few people would. You'd have to be crazy to do it. So therefore, their sense of reality stops them from jumping off the roof. You see, but however, your sense of reality, usually in most cases, does not extend to the world of ideas. What we're trying to do is to extend your sense of reality to the world of ideas, so that. That what you see is real, and that's why it says in Pirkei Avos and the whole book of Mishlei who is a wise person, he could see the consequences of his actions. Why? Because right now you have a desire, you're experiencing a desire, but you're not experiencing the consequence. Only your mind tells you that there will be a consequence. So if you make a decision, despite your experience that you're having now based on your mind, that is a chacham. So therefore, what we're trying to do is to extend your sense of reality from the physical world to the world of ideas. So therefore, there's a certain sense when you see this idea, if you could be honest with yourself and watch yourself, that certain intellectual honesty to recognize that it's not real. In other words, because the difficulty here is, again, is your conscience wants to be there. Well, if this is the right thing to be, then it's real to me, and you think it's real just when you see the idea. But it might not necessarily be real to you, but you made it real because your conscience is telling you, and therefore only based on your conscience is it real, but it's not real in reality. That takes a review of the subject as much as you can and as much energy as you could get in, even though there might not be new questions. Now, sometimes when you do this, you'll see new ideas, but the thing is, it's not for the new ideas, but it's for the reality, the sense of clarity to the emotions, and to remove the cloud that the emotions have on these ideas. It's a very subtle and difficult thing to do, but even if you can't, just reviewing the ideas, see that it, you will recognize, just by reviewing the ideas, a certain clarity, even though you can't express it in any different terms than you expressed it before, but there's that sense that it's clearer. You see, there's a certain sense that it's clear. It's an experience. I can't define it because it's an experience. It's hard to define an experience. But it really is an experience that you have. You see? Now, that should, at that, now the thing is, since we're not talking about whether this or that idea is real to you, but it's a change in personality, so therefore the clarity might come clear, but you're still not guided by the world of ideas. So therefore, as you go through ideas and as it becomes clearer and clearer, it becomes real to you, you see? And suddenly there's a change. It's like suddenly you notice that you're making decisions differently and you're thinking differently. It's like a discovery. You can't, like sometimes you force yourself to do a correct action, so you see the difference, what you did before and what you do now. It's very clear, and what's motivating you. Here, you cannot force yourself to change. All you could be involved is in the world of learning, and then suddenly you discover that you're making decisions and looking at life differently. It's a discovery that suddenly you notice that. Now, after a certain amount of time, if this doesn't work, then the next step is to study psychology and to see psychologically what's preventing you from taking that step. Okay? Now, in the world, their purpose of psychology is to be happy. So everybody learns psychology. Our thing is not to be, it's not to the purpose of being happy, it's for the purpose of the ideas becoming real to you. That is what we call perfection of the soul, that the ideas are real to you. The question is, what does it mean then when the idea becomes real to you? Okay? The thing is the way to recognize it is like when you're making a decision, you see, you have a strong desire to do something. You see? And at that moment, your mind thinks of all the ideas why you should do it or not do it. In other words, like this. Let's discuss Lashon Hara for a minute. The first thing about Lashon Hara, before you study psychology, people start with psychology because they want to find happiness, so they study psychology. By us, we just want to live in reality. So the question is, leaving out the halachic aspects of gossip or lashon hara, we're just discussing the hashkafa or philosophical view or the practical view of lashon hara. Now, the thing is, for you to know if the facts of lashon hara are true, this is secondary information. Secondary information means I get it from somebody else. So that's based on my knowledge of the other person. So I have to have three pieces of knowledge. One is, does he lie? Two, does he exaggerate? Which is a lie, but it's a lie that I could bypass my guilt on. So that's exaggeration. Or he makes mistakes. So before I could accept the facts, I have to see what this person is, whether I should accept the lashon hara. Okay? Now. Okay? That's the first thing, is where I see that it's not true. I went over this idea many, many times, and I see it in many different areas, and I worked on it. Now somebody comes and tells me a piece of lashon hara, okay? What happens in the mind, okay? There are two possibilities. Suddenly, you find that you're accepting the lashon hara, and you feel good about the lashon hara, and then suddenly you say, "Hell no, this is wrong." See, if you do it that way, then that's the conscience interrupting you. The guilt is stopping you. You see, because you accepted it, the emotion it still accepts it, but the conscience tells you it's wrong, which is a good lo lishma, not to do it, but it's a good thing. But it's definitely a lo lishma. In the person that the ideas are real to him, as soon as the guy starts talking lashon hara, his mind is working, just for a minute, this guy exaggerates, how much could I accept of this thing? It automatically goes to the idea, and the idea of this thing, it automatically goes. It doesn't go to the conscience. It automatically, naturally, if you have to go to the conscience, that you accept it, and then suddenly you pull back and say, 1 minute, that's the conscience still working. That's the emotion still working. But if naturally your mind goes directly to, just 1 minute, immediately, as soon as you hear the gossip, immediately your mind says, 1 minute, this guy, he exaggerates. Or this guy, he's not that observant. I know he could recognize this level of thing, but this is too detailed. He would miss up on the details. I don't know if I could accept it. You see, that is when you make, that's the difference whether you're making a decision on the idea or you're making a decision based on your conscience. In other words, the conscience, if you're going through the conscience, so first you accept it, then you say, hey, 1 minute, I'm not supposed to accept it. And then you start analyzing it. Then you go back to the analysis. You do analyze it, but it's only after you recoiled. But if the mind is dealing with it, not the conscience, but the mind is dealing with it, then as soon as the guy starts speaking, automatically you have your questions. Let's say you're learning in Gemara. Do you say, 1 minute, I'm supposed to ask a question now. Let me think about what question I should ask. Or automatically there's a question. It's natural, right? That is the way of measuring in everyday life where your emotions are involved, is if you naturally think of it as an idea, you just naturally think of it. Or no, you first go through a system of, oh no, I'm not supposed to do this, and then you start the analysis. In other words, the question is how you get there. In other words, like, you start with Mishle. Every pasuk of Mishle is talking about a different aspect of life, and it shows you the correct way and the incorrect way of analyzing it. Then you study, so you study through Mishle. Then you have discussions with your friends or in your own mind about different things that came up, how to analyze it, but you should notice the method is the same way you analyzed Mishle. It's the same approach that you analyzed Mishle, and you keep practicing it again and again until it has an effect on you that it's automatic that you think. But the first step is is working out the thoughts. I mean, you can't become real unless you spend years in thought. It has to be a certain amount of thought. So therefore, Gemara helps you, but Mishle helps you deal with the specific area of making decisions in everyday life and how to make decisions in everyday life. So you need that training. I mean, you just can't automatically do it just because you heard this class and I gave you an example. That doesn't mean you could do it. You have to have hundreds of examples and hundreds of times that each idea you go over and each aspect of the pasuk and from this angle, from that angle, every angle. You see? Until naturally you start thinking this way. Like there's certain people that I had a class that was once a week and they didn't learn. They worked the balabatram, they worked, they only came to class. But after a certain amount of years, just from the discussion, they told me they make decisions differently. So they picked it up from the discussions. But so if you know what I mean? If you need a Rebbe, then get a Rebbe to give you a class in it. If you don't, then work it out yourself. But there must be a Seder, a time and order, every day, a pusik a day, 15 minutes a day, whatever, however you set up your days, that you work on this area, developing this area. One of the best books I found that does it is Mishle. In other words, just like you spend time on a Tosfos, this has to be a subject like Tosfos, and the same energy that you put in. Of course, the basis of your learning has to be halacha. That has to come first. But there has to be a time in your day where you put in that energy into learning into the world of Mussar. By Mussar, I mean how to make a decision in everyday life. That is what we mean by perfection of the soul, where there is a development of the person. And the first step that you really have to get is that what I am attached to in everyday life is the most stupid thing I could do. When you're sick and you see because how stupid you make decisions, that is the beginning of reality. It's a painful thing, but most people don't even notice that they're making decisions that are destroying themselves. They don't even notice it. They don't notice it. But that's the first thing. Then you could start relating to more abstract things. That's why Mishlei says this is the book for the beginner. Because the beginner must start here. In logics, you could, from training the mind, that you could start from Gemara. And that should be halacha must come first. That's the basic part of our system. You can't live without halacha. That should be the main part of your seder during the day is halacha. But there has to be a time for this. There has to be a time in development of this. Right. The beginner in this field makes a mistake. You see, he's a religious person that's studying Torah, and the conscience tells him that this is the right thing. Now, the conscience works that it also the conscience helps you by controls you by giving a certain image. You understand? Like a style of dress. Because you have a certain image you want to project. Sometimes you walk around ripped pants, you want to give a look at life like, nothing bothers me, I'm cool, nothing bothers me. Sometimes you get dressed up, you feel like, wow, I'm out on the town, you know. You have different images, and clothing definitely creates an image, you see. So the thing is, the greatest lo lishma is if you have an image that you're a chacham. Well, let's take that as an example. So if I have an image that I'm a chacham, so then when I learn Torah and I live by Torah, I say, see, I'm a chacham because I'm living by the ideas. Whenever I don't live by the ideas, I feel guilty because I'm not living up to the image of a chacham. You see, that is not reality. That is the beginner starting off, which is a good thing. That's a lo lishma. You must do that. You must live by that conscience. But that is the beginning, living the correct life because of your conscience. But there is a trade-off where you live the correct life because of the world of ideas. And I showed you the example before that if you didn't study the world of ideas, you didn't study Mussar, you didn't study Mishlei, 99% chance that it's not reality, except in the very few people that it could happen, that they have a sense of reality, even the world of ideas. It's all conscience. So that's without study. So with study, it could still be total conscience because you're putting the framework is being a Talmud Chacham. So you do everything that a Talmud Chacham does. So it looks similar. But the other person is totally guided by ideas. But sometimes in the change, the conscience, let's say you're listening to Lashon Hara, and like we said before, and you catch yourself, just for a minute, this doesn't make sense. You see? So the conscience is still working, and it makes you feel guilty, and the guilt makes you go back to the logics, because that's what a chacham would do. You see? But the natural person, naturally, as soon as the person starts talking Lashon Hara, he doesn't have to go through that. He naturally thinks of the world of ideas. He now says, this doesn't make sense at all. It's stupid. You know what I mean? It doesn't make sense. He's like, you got to walk away because it is stupid. You see? So that's the difference, the best description I could give between recognizing when you made the change from the conscience to reality. We only took one step in Lashon Hara why it's stupid, and that was because you must know First of all, you have to have knowledge of how to recognize a personality in the world of lying, exaggeration, and mistakes. And how much? There's a quantity. So you have to evaluate in what situations this guy lies, what situation this guy makes mistakes, what situation he exaggerates, whether you could trust this. So if you don't think it through at all, that's definitely conscience. You didn't think it through, it can't be chachma. I mean, there are other stages in Lashon Hara, like the second stage in Lashon Hara is there's a fact and then the interpretation. Now, even if you, let's say you went through everything except the fact, but the interpretation might be an emotional interpretation, and from the facts you can have three different interpretations, so the Lashon Hara is not good anyway. Because the whole Lashon Hara is based on the interpretation. You know what I mean? So that's a second step, you see? But slowly but surely, the whole thing becomes, the whole entity of Lashon Hara becomes a stupid thing. And suddenly you, and as you keep seeing it again and again and again, it has a certain sense of reality. But you must study the subject. You must have the knowledge of the subject first, how to make decisions. You don't have the subject. That's why I said the first step is simply like you learn a Tosas. Just get clarity in the idea. Question it from every different angle. Anything that bothers you. That's it. That's the first step. In other words, there's a difference between halachic Lashon Hara and we're talking about the hashkafa of Lashon Hara. Okay? It's two different things. Okay? So, the hashkafa, I'm just talking about it so far as hashkafa is concerned, not the halachic categories. I'm talking about the hashkafa categories. The question is that can I have reality, that I can know reality, even though my conscience is still attached to the... In other words, the lowest level is where you live by your conscience. And the conscience is... And the conscience dictates that you should be a chacham, so therefore you're guided by that. The highest level is where the conscience is attached to the world of ideas. Okay? You feel guilty where you don't live based on the ideas, not based on the image. Now the question is, let's say, for instance, I hear an idea, and can it be real to me, even though I still feel guilty about the image and not about reality? Can that idea be real to me? The answer is yes, it can be real in this way. That's the lower level of a tzaddik. The lower level of a tzaddik or a chacham is a person that's guided by his ideas, but his emotions are not yet in line with these ideas. But the idea must be real. So his emotions are not yet in line, but in his mind they are in line. You see what I mean? So the thing is, but he still feels guilty because he's not in line with his image, not in reality. That could be. You see, in other words, like this, there's two types of people. There's a person where his emotions uses the world of ideas. Let's put it this way. The ideas are subservient to the desires of the emotions. That's the beginner, that every human being is that way. The development in Torah is where my emotions are subservient to the world of ideas. The highest level of that is where my conscience is subservient to the world of ideas. So I feel guilty when I make an incorrect decision. Now the question is, can I see reality and make a decision on reality without my conscience being in line? The answer is yes, you'd be in conflict because you could see reality, but however, your emotions aren't not totally in line with that. Because your image has not changed, but you have a due sense of reality. It'll probably be lowered, but enough for you to operate in reality, but however, it won't be total, and that's the continued development. Yes, that's correct. The highest level of development is where you feel guilty because you're not in line with ideas, not because of the image. The image has no effect on you at all. It's gone. But you still have a conscience. You still have a conscience. You must live by the conscience. I'm just using as an image of Chacham as an example. Whatever lo lishma, whatever motivates you now, it's the only one you could use. can't use anything else when you start out but the motivator that you have. That can only change in time. So let's say it's competition. So fine, let that be your motivator. I mean, whatever your motivator is. Okay? Any lolishma. The question is, if somebody, let's say, works through, he checks out the information, and the information is true. He wants to know, in other words, that rarity, that one in a thousand or one in a million that happens to bypass all your tests. In other words, the first test is you know the person thoroughly, you know all the people that it went through, and you know the fact is true. And then you separated between the facts and the interpretation, and you had a clear discussion with thinkers, and you went through all the possibilities, and you come to that this interpretation is the correct interpretation. So finally, now you have a true idea. What's wrong with that? Okay? Now, first of all, it could be that maybe insofar as Hashkafa is concerned, it might be true, that it could be true, that you could accept it. And the halacha will say no. But all I'm proving is high probability is that it is going, that one out of a million is not a good probability to live by. And you're not going to walk around just listening to people and just spending your life analyzing Lashon Hara. The only reason why you have to spend time analyzing Lashon Hara now is so that it should become not real to you. But that one in a million is not going to change your life. It's going to become real to you that you're not going to accept it. But I can't bring you proof that, no, you shouldn't do that. Yeah, I mean, that might be just a halacha, because you have to understand we have different systems, and you must define it in terms of the system you're studying. If you're studying the halachic system, then you define it one way. If you're studying Musa, you define it another way. If you're defining it in terms of God, what's wrong with it, that you define it another way. You have to be in. You have to know what God's justice is and how God works and how this fits in to God's system. That's a different study. But you have to define it according to... I'm only defining it according to Hashkafa, not according to Halacha. In other words, like this. Let's say you could swim among sharks, and there's one in a million that you won't get bit. Now, who's going to do that? Now, I say the same thing. I'm going to listen to a million cases of Lashon Hara because maybe I'll find one that's true. Doesn't make sense from a Hashkafa point of view. I'm not talking about the Halacha category of Lashon Hara. That's something else. Then you have to define it in different categories. But insofar as the Hashkafa, why don't we spend thousands of hours because maybe one piece of Lashon Hara is going to be true? It's a waste of my life. That's a good motive not to do it. In other words, listening to most of Lashon Hara and watching a science fiction movie is not much different. It's the same enjoyment. Might as well watch a science fiction movie. It's the same enjoyment. And the only thing is it's safer to watch a science fiction movie because there you know it's false. But here you think it's true when really it's false. So you're training your mind to look at life incorrectly. Then how could you come to any truth about an abstract thing like God? You'll never get there. So Lashon Hara is worse than watching a science fiction movie. It's more harmful. It's more destructive. The question is, they want to see an example of how Lashon Hara, since we're talking about Lashon Hara in this area, how Lashon Hara harms you. Okay? What's the consequences of Lashon Hara? Okay? The thing is that it starts like this. Let's say, for instance, I made a statement like this, that if you want to tell a secret, you shouldn't tell any person that speaks Lashon Hara, you shouldn't tell him that secret, because Lashon Hara is a disease, and if you tell him the secret, the person that talks Lashon Hara can't keep it. So, but you have a problem. Why? Because a person has to have somebody that he could talk over. He needs an outlet for his conflicts to talk it over with his friends, you see? But now you and your friends both talk Lashon Hara, so if you tell it over to your friend, his disease might tell you a secret. You see what I mean? There, in other words, you have the need to express yourself. But however, Lashon Hara is a disease, and you're going to express this idea to a person that speaks Lashon Hara, which is a disease. So he can't help himself. He's going to have to tell you secrets. And so therefore, once he, well, first of all, you might tell him somebody you don't like, he's going to start a rift between you and another person, which is quite often in Lashon Hara. You could ruin a shidduch based on your Lashon Hara. I mean, things, you're destroying people left and right. You see? Right. Now, what happens is, to start out with, you can't change your life. So when you have this knowledge, what you're going to have is that desire to tell so you automatically go and tell your friend. You see? But then, since you have this knowledge, you're going to feel guilty. You see? I'll try to explain it a little better. Most people don't think about the possibilities. They just do an act. They only have one possibility, and they do an act. They have no free will. They must do that act. But after the act, they have free will. Of course, I would have, I should have, I could have. You see, all these things is free will. Afterwards, what I should have and would have and could have done to avoid the consequences of this act. You see? So that's what's going to happen when you study any idea, and we're just discussing one area of Lashon Hara. So when you discuss Lashon Hara, you still need an outlet to talk, but you're not going to think of this. You can automatically talk. Or even if you do think of it, you will not feel guilty. You'll cut out the guilt, and you'll talk anyway. But then afterwards, this idea is going to come back. The conscience is going to say, I want to jerk you off. Now what you have to do is think about this idea. That's very difficult, because you have to think about the consequences of what you did. There's nothing you could do to change it. And you have to see all the possible consequences that could come from what you said. But you must go through that pain and analyze it. Then what should happen after many, many times of redoing this, then suddenly, before the fact, suddenly the guilt will come, and the guilt will work, and it will stop you, and then you will think it through. And you'll be able, sometimes you'll fall into it again, and sometimes you'll stop. It could go either way. But you'll have the choice beforehand. At a certain point, you won't even have the guilt. You'll automatically say, this is stupid. This is crazy. What am I doing to myself? I'm killing myself. You see? So there you see. See, these things people don't even notice. The Chovas Avovas in his introduction says, you're put in a room with furniture that you were never there, and it's totally dark, you're going to bang into the furniture. You put on a light, you know, a little flashlight, you won't bump into any furniture because you know where to avoid. See, that's the example. Most people don't even think this way. So they keep killing themselves and getting consequences again and again. You see? But the light is the knowledge of where you really see where the consequences become real to you and you live by it. You see? Then the mind is, then it's the mind that's guiding you and not your conscience. Whatever your conscience is, whether it's an image of a chacham, a competition, whatever it is, but the fact is, you're a different person. Then you're in the ballpark. In the ballpark of a chacham, the difference between you and a chacham like Moshe Rabbeinu is quantitative, which is out of your realm. You don't have a choice. You don't have free will how far you could go. You're born with certain abilities. But you do have the free will to be stay a fool, in the terms of Mishlei, to keep making these terrible errors, or to become a chacham and be guided by reality. That is, you have a choice. That is where your choice should be. But once you make that choice, you make the change, then you're in a totally different ballpark. And then you're in a ballpark of Chachamim. Now, in certain areas, you'll definitely make still a lot of mistakes, even though it's this reality, but it's only in the area of where you have addictions. Certain addictions that if you have an addiction, then just working out logically will not work. Then what you're going to have to do is work it out through psychology. See, we use psychology only to help us with our perfection. The perfection is very practical. So what we're saying was that we use psychology not for, the world uses psychology for happiness, so they go right into psychology just to be happy. But however, we use psychology to perfect ourselves. By perfection, I mean that I live a very practical life, that I avoid the consequences that life has to offer. So I live as a chacham because, like I said before, why you call the chacham? Because you're experiencing the desire, like in our case, you're experiencing the desire to express your inner emotions to a friend, but the reality that since your friend does talk Lashon Hara, that it's a disease that he will say, that's you blank that out. You see? That's only in the mind. You see? Now, if you cannot do it, if you have an addiction in a certain area, and just studying the reality doesn't help you, that is when you need the study of psychology to see what emotion is stopping you from getting to that reality. That is where you need psychology. Not first, but you need psychology last, you see, after you know reality. In other words, there are really the two people that we're talking about, the person that's guided by the conscience and the guided by the world of ideas, is two different views of life. One looks at it as right and wrong. What's right? What's wrong? They live in a black and white world of right and wrong. We live in a world of not right and wrong. We live in a world of pleasure and consequences. Reality and consequences. You see? This act, I want an outlet to tell my secrets. But should I speak it? It's not that it's evil. There's a consequence if you do it. Halacha is something else. I'm telling from the viewpoint of Ashkafa. It's all, that's it. There's no condemnation. There's consequences. The emotional view of life, is a condemnation. You're evil. You don't do this, you're evil. You feel guilty, you feel shame, you feel fear. You are condemned. The beginning of our Ashkafa is to move away from that view of life to a view of reality. And reality is simply, forget about my motives. What are the consequences? I might have to study my motives to undo when in an area of addiction, so I have to know to have to undo it. But the matter is, are the consequences, and reality should dictate if the consequences, I shouldn't do it. It's a different value system. The system of reality is a different value system than the system of the emotional system. And if you think about it, you see that one is without guilt. I mean, it's painful, and you can't do certain things, but you don't have a condemnation. You have the condemnation, then that is the superego, the conscience. That's the conscience working.